Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 4, if you would. 1 Kings chapter 4 in the Word of God. It's good to see Ms. Brett Schneider able to be here. Glad she's here. Good to see Ms. Wilson. We missed her on Sunday. So do pray for Brother Minyard. I was not through announcing, but I was going to let you turn. Brother Minyard is needing a blood transfusion, so he is getting that tomorrow. His blood levels dropped, and they knew that would probably happen. So just pray for him. It's all new ground for him, all right? Do keep praying for him. Obviously, the other folks, Ms. Smith, Brother Starkey, that are dealing with cancer, I hope you're already praying for them and you don't necessarily need to be reminded, but keep doing that. Keep praying for each one of them, if you would. And pray for Ms. Noble. She's not necessarily worse. She's just not as better as she wants to be, all right? So she said she got a new prescription and trying to get improvement, so pray for her. And she said, I'm not going to try to come tonight. I'll try to be there. I want to be there Sunday. So you remember to pray for her, all right? Is there anybody else need a prayer request? My brother Sydney and Dodie, they came through their stuff they were going through yesterday, but it's kind of a wait and see deal with Brother Sydney on his eye. So do keep praying for them. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Pray for Ms. Moore's friend Caleb, whose children have been taken to Belize, and they've had court orders to return them, but they've never enforced that order. So he's going back and having another hearing on Friday. So remember to pray for them, all right? Pray about that, if you would. All right, you're in 1 Kings. Let's look at verse 1. The Bible said, so King Solomon was king over all Israel. Drop down to verse 20. Judah and Israel were many, as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and making merry. And Solomon reigned over all kingdoms, from the river unto the land of the Philistines, and unto the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour, 70 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, and 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep besides harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted fowl. He ate well. For he had dominion over all the region on this side the river, from Tiphzah even to Aza, over all the kings on this side the river, and he had peace on all sides round about him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers provided victual for King Solomon and for all that came unto King Solomon's table, every man in his month, they lacked nothing. Barley also and straw for the horses and dromedaries brought they unto the place where the officers were, every man according to his charge. We'll leave off reading there. The Bible records here Solomon took the throne after the death of his father, King David. His reign has been referred to by many as the golden age of the nation of Israel. Seldom has any nation had it even close to as good as the nation of Judah and Israel did during the time period that discussed here, all right? Now, I think about it, we look at it, and we see nations in turmoil. You know, we look at nations and today, and it seems that there's one disaster followed closely behind the other disaster, and it just kind of keeps on going on. There's division, there's bickering, there's dirty deals, and all such like that goes on in almost every nation today. Folks question how much they can actually trust their own government. And, well, It doesn't have to be that way. I believe with all my heart it could be in our land like it was during the days of Solomon. I believe it could be that way. And I want you to take a look with me. And by the way, this is the way I said that I believe God would have us to live. I believe, you know, over in John, the Bible says he's given us life and life more abundantly. All right? And I think that was for every phase, every type, every part of life. So I want you to notice with me. First of all, I want you to notice there was peace. Look at verse 24. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tipsah even to Asa, over all the kings on this side of the river. And he had peace on all sides round about him. Boy, the good thing about it is David, his dad before him, had fought the wars. His dad had gone to battle. He had defeated the foes of Israel. He had brought a lot of them under his oversight. And because of that, many of them paid tribute to the land of Israel because of the conquering work of King David and all that went on. And they sent, notice verse 21 says, they brought presents and served Solomon all the days of life. Why did they do that? Because they had been brought under the control of Israel by David. David had led that charge, and so there was peace in the land. And hey, let's face it, that's one thing that there's not a nation in the earth today that doesn't desire. Peace. I remember hearing B.R. Lakin talk about Soviet Russia years ago. He said, Russia's for peace. They want a piece of this and a piece of that, you know. And that's true, but I do believe most nations want peace, all right? We'd like to have peace. We want that in our day. Well, they had it in that day. There's no doubt in my mind God's interested in peace. God's interested in peace. He's in favor of it. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. The Bible has a lot to say about peace. Now, you might keep a hand in here, but let's go to John chapter 14, would you? John chapter 14, if you'd look over there. I want to look at a couple of verses and talking about this matter of peace. Nations want it. I believe people want it. And the Lord, when he was on this earth, said this in verse 27 of John 14. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? He said, because I've given you peace. I've given you peace. No doubt about it. He gave his peace to men. He gave that peace. You ought to have the peace of God in your heart if you're a child of God. There's something wrong with your relationship with the Lord if you don't have the peace of God. There's something wrong, all right? And let me make it plain. There's nothing wrong with God. If there's a problem, it's on our end. It's on our end. So he gives us that peace. But not only that, look in John 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33, we find this verse. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He said, I've given you my peace. And our peace is found in him. It's found in him. But not only that, go back to Psalm 119, would you? Psalm 119. Notice what the scripture says here. Psalms 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. That's a pretty good thing. Great peace have they which love thy law. You want to know why we don't have much peace in the world? Because the world doesn't love this book. The world doesn't love the law of God at all. And all of that peace that God's promised and he said, I've given, It's not available to those people whose main desire is to live according to the desire of man. That peace is available to you and I that want to live by the law of God. And we live by that law, we can have peace. We can have peace with God, but we can have peace with one another too. We can have peace with man. There can be peace between the nations if we'd live by the law of God. He said, "Preacher, that's a big if." Well, I know that. But I said to you, the way it could be. The way it could be, all right? Hey, it was a land in Solomon's day, a land of peace. Well, that's not all. It was also a land of plenty. Go back to chapter 4 there, 1 Kings. Look at verse 20. Judah and Israel were many as the sand which is by the sea in multitude. Notice, eating and drinking and making merry. I know in the Bible, in the New Testament, talks about eat, drink, you know, and be merry because you're going to die. I don't believe that's the situation here. Situation here is the picture that's here is all of the people, they were able to enjoy plenty in that day. It wasn't a time of stress. It wasn't a time of barely getting by. It wasn't a time where only the elite enjoyed what flowed from the government, all right? It was everybody in the land. All the folks, man, they enjoyed it. Hey, they were able to enjoy life. They were able to enjoy life. There was plenty to eat and drink. You didn't hear any commercials on TV about starving children. He said, "Of course you didn't. There was no TV." Well, if there had been, you wouldn't heard it. Why? There was plenty to eat and drink. There was plenty. It was there, all right? Now, it was so good that they made merry. They had a good time. You know, I know a lot of people look at us fundamental Baptists and think you people don't want to have a good time. But they don't understand. We do. We believe in having a good time. We just don't believe you got to get drunk to do it, all right? We don't believe you got to, you know, be carousing around and hugging somebody else's wife to have a good time. We believe you can be merry and you can enjoy life, and God wants you to enjoy that life, but it's within the bounds of what the Bible has to say. Well, there was plenty in that day, and those folks enjoyed that plenty. But, you know, wait a minute. God's always promised plenty. God's promised that plenty. When he fed the 5,000, he started with a sack lunch. When he fed the 4,000, he started with a sack lunch. But he's able to take that and multiply it and feed those multitudes. But not only do that, there were more leftovers than there was what he had to start with. Why? Because the Lord's interested in providing plenty. I believe that. I believe that. I believe he does that. In Philippians 4:19, he said, "I'll promise I'll supply all your need. I'll supply all your need. I'll take care of you." Notice that verse. Well, let's turn there, all right? Let's just turn there. I think I could quote it and quote it correctly, but it's sometimes good not just hear it, but it's good to see it. All right? We think about that first part that I said, "But my God shall supply all your need." But too many people stop there. But it says, "according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Hey, not according to what's in your bank account. Not according to what's in your pantry. But according to his riches. Hey, can I just say this? That'll always make plenty available. Plenty available. Now, wait a minute. I don't want you. There's always somebody that hears something like that, and their thought is, "Oh, good, I'm going to go just sit down and wait on him to send it." No, he expects us to work. He expects us to labor. As a matter of fact, the Bible says if a man won't work, then he shouldn't eat. So it's not a matter of us sitting down and God just dumping it on us, all right? It's not a matter of lining it up that way, but it's according to his riches He'll supply our need. And the truth of the matter is, you can look at most of us and see quite evidently those people ain't going hungry. They're just not, all right? Why? Hey, there was peace in that day. There was plenty in that day. But it went past that. Go back there to 1 Kings chapter 4 and look at verse 25. Man, I love this verse. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely. Notice every man. Let me just say that one more time. Every man under his vine and under his fig tree. From Dan even to Beersheba all the days of Solomon. When the Bible says from Dan to Beersheba, what he's telling you is the whole length of the country, everybody in the country. The Bible said, hey, you say, what are you getting at? There was prosperity. There was prosperity. It went beyond plenty on occasion to the matter of prosperity for all. You say, how you figure everybody? Because this verse says every man had his own vine and fig tree. Can I just point out that shows private ownership? God's in favor of it. God's in favor of it, not a socialistic mess. No, but every man had his own vine, his own fig tree. And notice what the verse says of the last words. All the days of his life. All the days of his life. They were prosperous. That nation prospered under the hand of Solomon. God blessed them. I'll be honest with you, I'm convinced God wants all to be prosperous. Now, don't think I've gone off the deep end. I'm not preaching a health and wealth gospel. I don't believe God wants everybody to be rich. I do not believe that if you're not wealthy, it's a sign of your lack of faith. Don't believe that one bit. That doctrine that's preached by some today is not found in the Bible, all right? It's not in the book. Not talking about that. Well, wait a minute. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. We used to sing this verse in the youth department. And it's a tremendous verse. Joshua 1:8, the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Good success, make your way prosperous. The Bible tells us how to be prosperous. The Bible gives us that. If God tells us how we can be, don't you figure he wants us to be prosperous? Now, there's somebody who would say, well, preacher, it's only talking about the soul of man. I don't believe that. I believe God wants us to be prosperous. I didn't say rich. I didn't say wealthy. But I believe he wants us to be prosperous, okay? Look, if you will, in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, a well-known psalm, even famous psalm, I guess, you know. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Hey, the Lord said, wants you to prosper. Wants you to prosper. Wants you to do well. We think, no, it's impossible. We can't do that. And so what we need is we need socialism to come in, and we'll take from the one that's got the most. And now, those wealthy people, they need to share their wealth. It needs to come down. Hey, no, the Bible says it's individually. Individually. You say, well, preacher, I'm not prospering. What's wrong? Don't look at me. Look at you. And I don't mean that rudely. I don't want you to take it that way. But notice on both those places, this book of the law And Joshua 1:8 shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Psalms 1 talks about his delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Do you not see the connection? That connection is in the Word of God. And we don't meditate on the Word of God. Once again, you don't get in that lotus position that you hear about. Your fingers like this going, No. But you meditate in that book, not just so you'll have a tremendous head knowledge of it, but so it'll get in you, and you will live that book outwardly. That it works in you. Okay? It works in you. Go with me to 3 John, way over in the New Testament, the book of 3 John. 3 John chapter 1. Because there's only one chapter in 3 John. Look at verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So in other words, that you would prosper even as your soul prospers. It's not just prosperity for the soul. It's for you. You want to have that prosperity. It's based upon us taking the Word of God and doing what the Bible says. Doing what the Word of God says. If you want to know a great deal of what's wrong in the world and what's wrong in our country economically, it's because we've departed so far from the principles of the Word of God. That's why we struggle. That's why we've got this huge amount of debt. That debt's killing us, all right? Now, I'll say this. These things, that plenty, that prosperity, that peace, cannot happen unless some other characteristics are present also. So back in 1 Kings chapter 4, all right? I want you to see there's a necessity for power. Power. Look in verse 21. And Solomon reigned over all kingdoms, from the river unto the land of the Philistines, unto the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. Drop down to verse 26. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. Listen, I don't want to tell you this. David had fought the battle, but the trappings of power were still present. They were there. Those chariots were not for entertainment. It wasn't so on Saturday. Well, they wouldn't have done it on Saturday. That was the Sabbath. But it wasn't where on one day they got together and, boy, we had the chariot races because Solomon's got all the chariots. We'll cheer them on. That wasn't for entertainment. Hey, they represented the military might. It might be comparable to our tanks. Okay? And the surrounding countries were well aware of that. They knew Solomon not only had the position as king, but he had the power to back up what was going on. I just want to tell you, peace has always been maintained in a sin-cursed world by strength and might. It is never maintained by giving it away or bargaining for peace. Years ago, George W. Bush wanted to give land for peace. And wanted the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, to give the West Bank and to give Gaza and to give other areas to the so-called Palestinians, all right, to give it to them. And that way, there's what they call the two-state solution.
And boy, if we just do that, we had peace. So they pretty much gave them. They gave them Gaza. That's why last October, that was the launching ground for that attack. Where they came out of that land that was given so they could have peace. And they entered into Israel and slaughtered those folks. Why? Because you can't bargain for peace. You can't swap for it, okay? Somebody has to have some power and to maintain that, because it's strength that maintains peace. It's strength. You can't have that without some strength. You got to be there. It's always been maintained that way. But now I've saved the most important thing for last. Back in 1 Kings chapter 4, I want you to look at verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. You said, well, what was so hot about Egypt's wisdom? They did build the pyramids. All right, that was no small undertaking. But it says, for he was wiser than all men. Then Ethan the Ezrahite, Ethan wrote one of the Psalms. And Heman, he wrote one of them. And Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mabel, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beast and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. I said, save the most important part for last. Solomon was wise. It was not worldly wisdom, but it was God-given wisdom. Over, you know, the Bible talks about 3,000 proverbs. Over 900 of them have been preserved for us in this book, in the book of Proverbs. Now, Solomon didn't write every proverb that's given to us in Proverbs, but he wrote a great number of them. And what we find there is just pure wisdom. But so many of them are overlooked and just ignored even in our day. The simple things. The result is problems and troubles in the government. Because when the government ignores the wisdom of the Word of God, you got problems. If you do what the Bible says, for instance, and even in Proverbs, what the Bible says about money management, we wouldn't be so many $1 trillion in debt as a nation. We wouldn't be there. All right? It wouldn't happen. It's wisdom that's missing in our government today. Self-interest, party politics, temporary relief, avoidance of dealing really with the hard questions and the hard answers. That marks so much of our government today. Oh, they don't mind trying to put a Band-Aid on something. Every time I hear a politician say, we've got to do something about education in our country, I grab my billfold. Because the only thing a politician knows to do about any problem is throw money at it. That won't fix a problem. Sometimes it creates bigger problems, all right? Hey, I'm saying to you, it could be better if we'd follow this book. It could be better. I mean, it could be better. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't have much trust in government. And I would encourage you not to put your trust there too much. Our trust is in God. You said, great, preacher, you've preached all this message, and you said, don't trust them. Well, let's draw it down to where we live. Let's draw it down to where we live. Every one of us every one of us have an area over which we rule. I'm going to say that again. Every one of us have an area over which we rule. Okay? I've got a couple of teenagers here. You've got an area over which you rule. It ain't your house, by the way, okay? You don't rule that. But you've got an area over which you rule. Every adult, every parent, every adult, you've got an area. When you, as you grow, as you age, that area you rule over increases. All right? It increases. When you as a parent, you got married, you had some children, and your area that you ruled over included that home and your family. You say, well, how do I rule? By the book. If you want peace, you want plenty, you want prosperity, do what God says. Obey the book. Get in the Word of God. Find out everything that God would have you to do and try your best to do it all. Do it all just the way He said. And do that. And if you're, you know, the area of that rulership that you have grows some, then you get to work on it. You get to work on it. You make that area you rule over be prosperous because you follow what God says to do. All right? I repeat again, when I say prosperity, when I say plenty, I do not mean wealth, filthy rich. We have the idea nowadays the only way to really have prosperity is I've got to be filthy rich. No, you don't. No, you don't. The truth is, if you can cradle your head and sleep in peace, man, you've got something there to rejoice over. God's given you that. But I'm saying to you, hey, Solomon had the power. He had what was needed. You have the power to keep the peace in your part of the world, all right? Your part of the world. You can keep the peace with you. You say, well, I don't rule very much. Well, you can rule you. And there ought to be peace there. You ought not to be out trying to find all the fighting and fussing and trouble you can get into. Well, I just think people need to know my opinion. Might be better off you kept that opinion to yourself. You know, it's not necessary. Just there's things you can do following the Word of God. Following the Word of God. You can have that peace. You say, preacher, you believe that? I believe it with all that's within me. I believe it with all that's within me. And you can have plenty because God said, I'll provide your need. If you meet my condition, you do. All right? You do. I'll do it. You want to be prosperous? Then you meditate on this book. Meditate on the Word of God. Get it in you. Let it grow. Let it develop. And you continue to practice it. Everything you know to do, be sure you're doing it. Even on those days where you wake up grumpy. On the wrong side of the bed, you don't feel like it. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Look, our whole land could be different. Our whole land, it will be different one day. It will be different because the Prince of Peace will rule. But as much as we could get it across to those that go to Austin or go to Washington to represent us, if we could just get them to see, you know what, if you do. Now, I'm not saying let's make Christianity the state religion. I'm not in favor of that. I'm just saying we put these principles in practice and do what God said. I don't think we ought to force anybody to be a Christian because you can't force anybody to be a Christian. But I'm just telling you, if we'd live by those principles, even the crowd today that wouldn't like it would like the results.
when you told them what you're going to do, they said, oh, we can't do that. They would enjoy the results. But hey, it'll never be perfect. Sure won't, because dealing with sinners. But the more we put into practice what God says, the better life can be. The better life can be for you, for our state, our county, our city, our nation. We can put this book back where it belongs. Boy, if people just understand that, what a difference it would make. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. We ask you to help us. Help us to see the truth of the Word of God. Solomon reigned in a day. Lord, you blessed him. But the reason things went well is because of his wisdom that came from you. And Lord, that wisdom was put to practice.